This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Does sports actually matter? Should you care that it's all left-wing now? We'll talk about that. Immigration, Peter Schweizer, Dave Bratt, all kinds of juicy stuff tonight on I'm Right. Sports. It's not something I talk about a lot, and I should explain why before we continue on I'm Right. We have such a great show for you tonight. Why don't I talk about sports a lot? Well, I grew up playing sports. I was terrible, but I played baseball and basketball my entire life. When I wasn't doing that, like most children my age, I was playing flag football, the wiffle ball. That was what we did. Everyone just did sports, right? And I watched sports for most of my life. NBA when I was younger, of course, baseball, the NFL. I used to obsess over the NFL. Well, now I'm 44 years old. I don't watch hardly any sports anymore. Professional baseball is the most right-wing percentage-wise sports league. And so I've kind of drifted to that when I do watch sports, but I hardly watch any sports anymore. The Super Bowl was yesterday. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I didn't even know who was playing until that day. I had to ask, who was it? I know you're probably calling me a big dork right now, but I got tired of it, man. I got tired of it. And I am the type of person, when I reach a breaking point, I will walk and I just never come back. Now, tired of what? Tired of their stupid opinions about how bad America sucks. That's what I'm tired of. And let me explain why, because I'm not doing the run-of-the-mill, they're all left-wingers and stupid. Now, that's not what I'm doing. I care very deeply about my country. I care about American culture, which is unique, and it is wonderful. And I want this wonderful culture of ours to continue for years and years and years. When my sons have had children, and Lord willing, their children have had children, I want it to continue long after I'm dead and gone. That is my interest. That is my main interest. Now, maybe that's prompting you to ask, well, who gives a crap about sports? It's just the Olympics. It's just the Super Bowl. It's just this and that. Well, that's the thing. Do you know why every single society, everyone, I read history all the time. I'm not some expert, but I read a lot of history. Every society has sports. Did you know that? It could be a small little village. It could be a huge empire. It could be the Achaemenid Persian Empire or a tiny band of Cherokee. They all have sports they play. There is a sport or several sports. Why? Well, sports serve a couple different purposes, critically important purposes in society. One of the main ones is it helps keep people healthy, athletic. It's about physical training. It's about learning to work as a team. I know that sounds like I'm a head football coach doing the most cliche thing in the world, but it does matter. I have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have a role to play here, and you have a role to play there. And probably most importantly, as far as societies go, the reason the Cherokee have it and the reason the Achaemenid Persian Empire has it is it brings people together. It allows people to rally around something, even something that doesn't seem important. And that something in and of itself isn't important, right? Football, just football, it's not important. Skiing, it's just skiing, it's not important. Baseball, it's not important. It's not important. But for a society, it is important that I can go with you and your family, and I'll bring my family, and you bring your friends, and he'll bring his friends, and there'll be people we don't even know from all over the place, and they'll all show up at the same place and rally around the same thing and spend 2 hours together, 3 hours together, having a beer and a hot dog. Seems mindless and meaningless, right? It is not. That's why every society does it. It has incredible meaning. It's incredibly important for a society. The Olympics are going on. We didn't do a ton of TV watching as a family when I was a child, but one thing I always remember in my house, the Olympics were on. Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics. they were just on. Maybe everyone was gathered around watching it. Maybe it was just on in the background, but it was on. And I didn't really grow up in a political household. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. But we were all America. It was all about America. Who's winning? Did America win? America this, America that. And for most of my life, the athletes who competed in the Olympics talked and acted like this wonderful young lady.
Feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it, and I'm so happy I get to represent USA!
That's wonderful. No politics? I don't have a single clue who that wonderful young lady voted for. Neither do you. I don't care. She's there representing America. It's an honor for her. America honored her with a spot, and she's treating it as an honor to represent the United States of America. And so she understands that something like the Olympics, she represents you. She represents me. That's what actually matters. And for my entire life, I mean, I remember I grew up watching Carl Lewis run track. I remember all of it. That's all it was. I told you we were in a political house. I never had any idea who anyone voted for, what they were all about politically. And you know what it did? It allowed the country to come together around the Olympics, around sports we didn't even give a crap about. You don't watch freestyle skiing ever. Don't lie. You don't. I've skied. I grew up in Montana, and I actually enjoy skiing quite a bit. Never once in my entire freaking life outside of the Olympics have I ever spent 5 seconds watching freestyle skiing, unless it was some blooper video on ESPN of some guy wiping out at some games or something somewhere. But when it comes time for the Olympics, well, it's not about skiing. It's about America, baby. Got to go out there and beat up on these dirty Russians. We got to go out there and be number one, America. And I bet all the athletes feel that way too. Well, why did I walk away from sports? Here it is.
It brings up mixed emotions to represent the U.S. right now, I think. It's a little hard. There's obviously a lot going on that I'm not the biggest fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't. If it aligns with my moral values, I feel like I'm representing it. Just because I'm wearing the flag doesn't mean I represent everything that's going on in the U.S.
I feel heartbroken about what's happened in the United States when, I'm pretty sure you're referencing ICE and some of the protests and things like that.
Yeah, it's been a hard time for the community overall under this administration. It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights. And now, especially, it's not just affecting the queer community, but many other communities. I know that a lot of people say, you're just an athlete, like, stick to your job, shut up about politics, but politics affect us all. It is something that I will not just be quiet about because it is something that affects us in our everyday lives.
Isn't it exhausting? Just a bunch of brain dead morons. Don't know anything about anything. But you know what they do know? They know America sucks. Because that's how they've been trained. They've been trained in American schools. They've been trained by the American media. They've been trained by Hollywood. They've been trained by all these influences that America sucks. And so, having worked very hard for a long time to be outstanding at their sport, they get the opportunity to represent you and represent me, and they just can't help themselves. America sucks. And that is why I don't watch sports anymore. I'm tired of it. And it's more than just me being a crotchety old man who's tired of it. It's really bad for the country. You know, I don't do sports talk. It's not me. But it's bad for the country that we no longer have that moment where we can come together and rally. We can't because we allowed a bunch of dirty, brain-dead communists into all these things. And they do what communists always do. They just destroy everything and make it miserable. They just destroy. They're destroyers. Shoot, I haven't watched the NBA in years. You turn on a press conference, now you get this.
It's shameful, really, that in our country we can have law enforcement officers who commit murder and seemingly get away with it.
You know, what happened in Minnesota was a straight-up murder, in my opinion. And it's awful. You know, this lady was probably trying to go home, and she didn't make it home, and that's really sad. So the whole ICE thing is a travesty. You know, it's clearly, to me, it's we're attacking brown people, and I just happen to be brown.
I don't care about watching that. But beyond my viewing preferences, because that doesn't matter to you, it's really bad for the country. When I was a child, wasn't all that long ago, the NBA was Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, be like Mike, David Robinson. We would all gather, and you had your team. I root for the Bulls. I root for the Knicks. I'm a Seattle this. No more. No more. It's all been taken away by race communists, gay communists, just Marxism in general, training a generation of young athletes that America sucks, and now they run their stupid fat mouths, and now you and I were denied that moment that really matters for society, where we come together with our neighbors, with other people in our town, with people from across the country. We just come together. I'll root for my team, you root for your team, the pageantry, the celebration, the everything. It's been taken from you. It's been taken from me. Shoot, the NFL, I miss it. I do. I miss it. I went to a Super Bowl party yesterday in my neighborhood. Told you I didn't even care about the game. Go to a Super Bowl party. I didn't make it through halftime. Now, we did turn off that stupid halftime show and turned on the Turning Point USA one, but I didn't even make it through all that. I was just bored. So out of the NFL, out on the NFL, I went home at halftime, watched a show with my wife. That's what's happened. Sad state of affairs. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And this is why we need to punish the corporate world when they take part in all this stuff. Let's whip the corporate world. Let's bullwhip them. Until they stop dividing us, stop letting these communists in the boardroom to divide us. That's part of what switching to Pure Talk is all about. Verizon needs to be punished for what they've done. AT&T, T-Mobile, they need to be punished. They don't get to wash their hands of this cultural revolution we're living through. They help fund it. Pure Talk doesn't. When Pure Talk gives back, and they do, they send American flags to veterans on Independence Day. They help veterans get back on their feet. Does this sound like an American-centric company? Good, because it's run by a Vietnam veteran. They're so American, they hire Americans. When you talk to them, you'll be shocked at someone who speaks English, and they're pleasant. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and make the switch today. You'll feel good about it. You'll pay less. They're on the same towers, so you're not sacrificing anything. puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Talk about voter ID. In fact, let's talk a little bit more about FFC, fraud, foreigners, and cheating. The Democrat Party disappears without it. Disappears. I'm not saying they lose a little bit of power. You know, they turn into a 45% party. They're a 20% party. They disappear without it. That's why they continue to get asked about voter ID. They get asked about this on camera, and I have to give some credit where it's due. Oftentimes, these TV hosts are now asking them, but the people want this. The people want voter ID. The people want voter ID. Why don't you?
For example, but requiring basic ID in order to vote is really popular. A Pew poll from a few months ago showed 83% of Americans, including 71% of your fellow Democrats, support requiring an ID to vote. Why are they wrong?
What Republicans are trying to do is to engage in clear and blatant voter suppression. What Donald Trump wants to do is try to nationalize the election. Translation, steal it.
It's still going to be something that disenfranchises people that don't have the proper real ID, driver's license ID, that don't have the ID necessary to vote, even though they are citizens. This is another way to simply try to suppress the vote.
It's Jim Crow 2.0. And I called it Jim Crow 2.0, and the right wing went nuts all over the internet. That's because they know it's true.
No, it's not a voter ID law, which just says you bring ID with you to the polls when you go vote, which exists in a lot of states. That's not what this is. This says you've got to prove that you're U.S. citizens.
Percent of Democrats? Let's set aside 83% of Americans. Think about the Republican Party. Do you vote Republican? I do. What's a issue that's 71% approval on the right? Guns is actually a great example. Guns. That's insanely popular with Republicans. Second Amendment rights. It's how the right thinks. Think about all the leadership. Not one or two guys saying something dumb. Think about all the leadership of the Republican Party coming out against Second Amendment rights. It's, I mean, even if they felt that way, they would never say it, right? You would never say it. You don't go against 71% of your base. But Democrat politicians do. Why? They disappear without it. Their very survival is at stake. They wouldn't care if it was 100% of Democrats who wanted voter ID. They still couldn't support it because Jamie Raskin knows what Chuck Schumer knows, who knows what Akeem Jeffries knows. They all know the same thing. They disappear if you have to show an ID to vote because Democrats cheat in every single election. You think those explanations were bad? Here was Dome.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's, there's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
Anyway. That's the best she could come up with. She does know the truth, though. She disappears. Never has a chance to be president if we have to have a people show ID to vote. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, there is no Democrat Party. Speaking of foreigners, Peter Schweizer wrote an incredible book on immigration, the foreign and domestic enemies behind all this stuff. We're going to talk to Peter about that in just a moment. Before we talk to Peter about that, let me talk to you about feeling good, full of energy and pep all the time. Being in a better mood. Are you down ever? A lot? Listen, you need to get that stuff fixed naturally. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will change your life. Whatever you're looking to improve upon, maybe you're a dude, you want your testosterone levels jacked through the roof, they'll take care of it. Maybe you're a lady, you just want better energy, they got it. If you got whatever you're looking for, there are natural herbal supplements, not pill bottles, that'll get you there. And Chalk has the best. I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for 4 years. Gosh, I feel incredible. Chalk.com/JesseTV gets you a discount, get a subscription. We'll be back.
The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
They're pretty honest about it if you just listen. Joining me now, Peter Schweizer has a wonderful, wonderful book out, The Invisible Coup, How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon. I love that because that's exactly what they do. Peter, you wrote the book on it. Tell me, how do they use it as a weapon?
Well, I think what we have to understand is when we think of immigration, we have in our mind like the Irish 120 years ago or, you know, 50 years ago, migrants coming to the United States wanting to embrace the American dream, that sort of thing. What's really happened is since 1980 with the Mariel boatlift, foreign governments and adversaries have realized we can actually use this as a weapon. We can actually use migrants as a tool to subvert the United States politically, in terms of social stability, culturally, you name it. So it's a subversive act. And that's not me just saying that. I quote officials from China, from Mexico, from the Muslim Brotherhood, for example, all saying that. And that is, in fact, what is going on with the cooperation of certain people in the United States who gain a political advantage from the same thing.
All right, Peter, let's focus domestically then. Let's talk about them before we get to the foreigners. Who are these people domestically collaborating with foreign enemies? What do they get out of it? Explain.
Yeah, so first you have Democratic Party politicians who realize this is an electoral winner for them. Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden have all done one thing in common when they were president, and that is that they gutted the rules for applying and getting citizenship in the United States. They got rid of or largely ignored criminal background checks. You're required to pass one to get citizenship. They gutted that process. They gutted the literacy requirements that you understand basic English. And they also gutted the tests that you were supposed to take to basic understanding of American government. Why did they do that? Well, Bill Clinton discovered in 1996 that new immigrants vote 85% Democrat. So the goal became to mint as many new citizens as possible and ignoring all the things that were necessary for citizenship. And that's why the biggest years for naturalizations in modern American history were 1996, 2012, and 2024, all of them re-election years for Democrat presidents. So there's a huge political advantage. Now, progressives, which are increasingly the dominant wing of the Democratic Party, also see immigrants as a force that moves the United States further to the left. There are all kinds of surveys, I cite some of them in the book, that shows that migrants to the United States are considerably on the left, whether it's on social issues, whether it's on the size and scope of government, whether it's things like the Second Amendment, whether it is teaching American patriotism. They all fall further on the left. So progressives see them as a transformative force, that's their words, not mine, that move the United States politically to the left. And then the final thing I would say, Jesse, is when it comes to how congressional districts are apportioned and how the Electoral College, which is how we select our president, that is based on the U.S. Census, which counts people. It does not count citizens. So a state like California has all the incentive in the world to have as many illegals as possible within the state borders. It's estimated that California has between 4 and 7 more congressmen than it actually should because of the presence of illegals. And even if you take that conservative estimate, Jesse, 4 congressmen in California for illegals, that's more than the congressional delegation for 13 other states in the United States. So it's a huge, huge deal on all those fronts.
Okay, Peter, let's talk about their children, because this part could be so confusing for patriotic Americans, wherever you fall on the patriotism scale. Okay, so there's some brand new person who got here from Somalia. Maybe her father was a communist and a colonel in the army. Well, we'll set that aside. It's easy to understand why that person would be a commie piece of trash. But their children get to grow up in the United States of America, paved roads, wonderful hospitals, good schools, clothes on their back, air conditioning, heating, all these things. Why are their children dirty America-hating scum so much of the time, setting aside groups like the Cubans and others?
Yeah, well, the biggest problem in this space is birth tourism. I mean, this is, I think, a shocking thing that people don't even realize. You have a massive worldwide industry, most of it concentrated in China, whereby Chinese elites fly to the United States with a pregnant woman. That woman gives birth here. So that child, according to birthright citizenship, the claims of birthright citizenship, is immediately a U.S. citizen, but that child is flown back to China where it is raised. It goes through CP schools. These are children of the elite. And when they turn 18, Jesse, they're going to be able to vote in our elections. They're going to be able to donate to political campaigns. They're going to be able to, you know, apply for sensitive government jobs. And our federal government does not track these numbers. We have no idea how many people have actually done this, because we don't, on a birth certificate, list the nationality of the parents. But the Chinese government has looked at it, they've encouraged it, and they believe that over the past 13 years, every single year, roughly 100,000 Chinese have done this. And if you do the math, Jesse, that means you've got more than a million U.S. citizens, I'm going to put that in air quotes, U.S. citizens being raised in China. They're going to be voting in our election soon from China. So it's a massive, massive vulnerability. Supreme Court's going to be hearing the birthright citizenship case. They have got to, for the future sake of the country, they've got to make the right decision and ban this practice.
Peter, let's focus, actually, we may come back to China in a moment, Mexico, because most Americans would understand what the Chinese motivation would be. They're pretty open about the fact they intend to supplant us. The Muslim Brotherhood, well, those scumbags have been around forever. We get that. What's Mexico's angle with trying to destabilize their neighbor and their most important trading partner by a mile?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when people think of the Mexican government, they think of them, okay, they're corrupt, they're kind of hapless. They don't really have a lot of plans. But the fact is, I quote them extensively in the book, they view mass migration to the United States as a means by which they can reconquista or reclaim parts of American territory. That sounds like this fantastic notion until you see how they say it over and over and over and over and over again. Top aides to Sheinbaum, the current president, senators, powerful journalists. And does that mean that they actually think California or Arizona are going to become part of Mexico? I don't know, but it does mean that they're going to exert sovereignty inside the United States, and they're already doing that. One of the most shocking things to me in the book, Jesse, is when I discovered that Mexico has Mexican government officials. These are Mexican senators and congressmen that serve in their parliament who actually live in the United States full time. And their job is to represent Mexicans living in the United States in front of the Mexican parliament. That is a massive intrusion on our sovereignty. And on top of that, with Mexico, you have an infrastructure that is designed to propel their interests into our country. They have 53 consulates here. That's almost 10 times as many as Great Britain has. They have six. And these consulates, they're involved in our domestic politics. They are trying to prevent Republicans and people like Trump from getting elected because of their agenda on immigration. They are helping Democrats. And they are also neck deep in organizing these anti-ICE, these violent anti-immigration enforcement protests. So we need to be kicking these diplomats out of the country. This is not an appropriate role for a diplomat. They should not have this presence in the country. And so their goal is effectively to extend their sovereignty into the United States. And by the way, Jesse, they believe that they are accomplishing it.
Peter, is the Trump administration aware, I assume they are, about these groups getting involved in these protests, basically ginning up civil unrest in our streets?
So before the book came out, I had an opportunity to meet with the president in the Oval Office for about 55 minutes. He also had the Treasury Secretary Bessent there and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. So we briefed them on our findings involving China, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Mexico. And we also met with other officials in the Trump administration and have met with a number of senators and congressmen. In fact, I've been asked to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee already, I think it's the second week of March. So they are aware of it. They are talking about taking action. There are a whole host of things that can be done by the executive branch. And we're hopeful that we're going to see some movement there in the days and weeks ahead.
The book is The Invisible Coup. This is one of those ones that's probably really important for you to understand what is happening out there. I highly recommend you go pick it up. Peter, I'm looking forward to this one. I appreciate you, man. Good luck. All right. We're going to talk to Dave Brat in a moment. Before we talk to Dave Brat, are you paying high interest? All right, so let me ask two questions. Do you own a home, and do you have 20, 30% interest on things you're paying? You don't have to. You may not realize it, but there is a path out of 20, 30% interest rates. And let me tell you something. I've dealt with people on this kind of thing for a very long time. When you get buried in debt and you're paying high interest, you know what it feels like? It feels like quicksand. Like the harder you struggle, the deeper you go, like you can never get out. That is not true. You can slowly work your way out and be free of it, and you'll never go back when you do. That's what American Financing is here to do. We're talking three-year lows in mortgage rates. You're going to wait for a bubble to pop again and all this to go to crap? Get a hold of American Financing. Let them get you out of the quicksand. AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. We'll be back.
This indictment represents the latest step in President Trump's long crusade to weaponize the federal government against his perceived political enemies. One day the Trump presidency will end. The statute of limitations for these crimes, however, will extend beyond that date. And when the day comes that Donald Trump leaves the White House and his successor moves in to finally bring some order to this chaos, there'll be accountability. The Department of Justice, free from its weaponized quest of retribution against Trump's perceived enemies, will have all the information it needs, video proof, to pursue criminal charges against government officials who actually are violating people's rights.
Joining me now, my friend Dave Brat, Senior Vice President of Business Relations at Liberty University. Dave, they're just communists, and in the end, they want to do what communists do. The government, the law should only work for them. Doesn't apply to them, should only work for them. It's not that they're hypocritical. That's just how they think everything should work.
Yeah, no, that's right. And it's just absolutely key right now, right? I mean, the base is waiting for evidence, for the receipts. President Trump's enemies are the people who put Peter Navarro and Bannon in jail, the people who raided his home at Mar-a-Lago, the people who raided $15 billion from the poor in Minnesota. The people are putting radicals in the streets, right? These are the supposed enemies. The left is doing the color revolutions. Our folks in Congress are so boring, I cannot tell you. I was exciting. I'm a Presbyterian economist. And I was exciting in Congress somehow, right? On the left, they got Ocasio, Omar, Schumer, the House Minority Leader. I mean, it's unbelievable how bad we're being gaslit. But the base is waiting. The DOJ, the Russiagate, still nothing has come out of that. Cleta Mitchell over in Georgia, the evidence, 300,000 ballots are in question, not signed. They're not folded. They're supposed to be in an envelope. All you needed was 10 or 20,000. And so the DOJ has just the potential to hit it out of the park on any of these conspiracy charges. And we just need to see it real soon because that's what the people are waiting for.
Do you think we will see it, Dave? Because you are right. Every day, especially if I say something hopeful, because there's some good news always mixed in there, I'll get a lot of that of, where are the arrests? Where are they coming? No one's been arrested. Do you think this is one of those situations where things just take time, or are we getting the can kicked down the road again to have no results?
Well, I'll just share one thing I heard, which may give people some sense. I heard it from a talking head, but it did make sense. If the CIA is involved in any way, shape, or form, it's hard to bring a court case because the other side can just say no to the judge, right? We want full open inquiry. So that's just one of the things that may be adding to the complexity on some of this stuff. But yes, I do think so. President Trump is a master of communications, right? He knows what's going on. He's wanted to realign the world. He's done it, NATO and UN and everybody. You know, he's getting lined up. That now he's going to pivot. He's a master at it. And you know, we got a month or two to deliver the goods. And I think he's going to do that. You know, we've got some of our higher-ups down in Georgia, and we got other serious grand juries in the works right now, and I can't conceive that we don't have something in within a month or two. If that does not happen, although when I was in Congress, I waited for leadership out of my side, and the cavalry never came.
Dave, I have to ask about your state, Virginia, state where I lived for a year. Most beautiful state in the country, and in fact, it's one of them. Virginia is not some deep, deep blue state. It's not California. It'll have a Republican every now and then. It'll go Democrat. Yet Abigail Spanberger gets elected. And Dave, I'm looking at this list of priorities that are getting crammed through the legislature here. This is left of California. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to tell everybody, you know, that she's the one that beat me. So, you know, I don't want to get bitter or whatever. I try to be charitable. But the main thing she's put forward with the Democrats in policy is they have made it illegal to count hand ballots. Right? They've made it illegal. I want that to sink in, to count hand ballots. That's what every other country in the world does. And the Democrats don't want you to be able to look at the ballots. So, that I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about who's gaslighting. And then as far as, the infinite number of taxes coming, and Virginia is, you know, it's like you said, it's not some deep blue state, but I will add, you know, the proximity to the swamp and the number of checks. Once when I was in Congress and once we lost Obamacare, that was another 20% of the economy. So all the hospital CEOs, the insurance CEOs, Dave, we love you. We love your ideas. We love this, but we got to have the Medicare formula, the Medicaid formularies, the drugs. You know, it's a money game, and the left is brilliant at just clipping off the number of dependents. And you're seeing it in Minnesota, in full color. And the American people, it's on the people, right? You're going to get the leaders you deserve, folks. And everybody's just still trading with China. Nothing to see there. And we're playing it real loose, too loose. We got to wake up.
Speaking of too loose, here's Maria Salazar discussing some too loose immigration policies. Here she was.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
Dave, I don't think it's very dignified to violate the sovereignty of my country. I don't give a crap if you've been picking vegetables for 20 years. Get out. I don't know why this is a Republican thing now.
Well, unfortunately, it is. I work for a group, Immigration Accountability Project. It's the only group that acts on the basis of accountability. But the Republicans, 85% of the people are opposed to illegal immigration and they want some sort of deportations. But 85% of the money, I don't think I'm exaggerating, all the CEOs, they want cheap labor. And the politicians, guess where they're getting their donations from? The money. So they're getting 85% in their ear from the money class. President Trump and the Secretary of Treasury has done a good job of saying, hey, Wall Street had its run, it's time for Main Street. But the politicians are still beholden to the money. And sorry, folks, it's a little indelicate when you bring in 15 to 20 million illegals. And many of them have committed crimes, serious crimes, right? Girl, I don't want to even say. So it's a little bit, she says a dignified. Well, how do you know who the dignified people are? That is the problem. And the left brought in the 15 million illegals, not us. And so you just got to always go back to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said.
How do we get the SAVE Act passed? Do we not? I know we have this super thin majority in the House of Representatives. Is this something that's going to be possible to get through somehow, some way, before the communists take over at the midterms?
Well, we just started on the American people need to see accountability, right? A massive Justice Department accountability scenario. Less that, the SAVE Act is just the bare minimum, right? All it says is you have to be a citizen to vote for people who are running for politics in your country. You've got to be a citizen. That's it. And Thune and the Senate are having a hard time with this concept. And what they better realize is if they don't have anything to run on, it's going to be a landslide, right? So that is just the bare minimum for the swamp. E-Verify would be the preferred, that plus E-Verify, which cuts off all the incentives, right? Cut off the all the welfare programs going to illegals. And then E-Verify cuts off all the work permits to any company in the country. You put E-Verify in there and you solve the problem. There, the 15 million's gone.
Dave, the economy. Yep. I know Trump, I know how he is, everything is the best thing ever, and I get all that, it's very endearing, but that's been the line he's been using when it comes to the economy. Everything's great, but everything is not great, Dave, and people don't feel like the economy is great because we printed $7 trillion over a chess cold, but that's another story. Everything is not great. How does the GOP message the fact that inflation's never going back down? Because it's never going back down, so how does this get messaged?
Well, you're right that the primary message we've all been trying to send is that the top 10% own 90% of the stocks and bonds. And so the Atlanta Fed, right, the GDP now, the forecast, they've got us growing at 4.5%, right? But the thing Bessent has been messaging on is that 4.5%, a lot of it's going to the wealthy. And so the middle class, we're going to get some benefits from the big, beautiful bill to the middle class, to the working class. So some of that's coming in. Trump's bringing in $10 to $20 trillion in capital. That capital makes workers more productive and will jack up their wage rates. That's coming. But Trump was thrown into a ditch. And there's a year lag on fiscal policy. There's a year lag on monetary policy. And so we're in a tough, you're saying it's not all rosy right now for the working class. That's true. But it is coming. It really is coming. And it's taken a while. And the rest of the world, we're getting aligned right. And there's going to be pro-growth coming from a lot of unexpected sources abroad.
Dave, I appreciate it, brother. Come back. All right. We have light in the mood. Something pretty wonderful. Before we get to that, here's something wonderful. Thousands of you like the book. I can't believe it. It was just a little booklet. It was just something that I was passionate about. Kind of condensed my thoughts in the little red book about communism and Democrats and Republicans and culture and food and various other little things that crossed my mind. And we wanted to give it away, and it's free. At jessekelly.com, it is free. Go to jessekelly.com and put in your email address. All right? We'll just send it to you for free. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And, I went to a Kid Rock concert one time. So the deal is I was a young, hedonistic young man. And was 19 years old. I remember how old I was because I had just signed up to join the Marine Corps. And me, all my buddies, we wanted to go to one last big blowout concert. And so we went down to Denver, Colorado, and Kid Rock, Korn, and Metallica were playing some big blowout rock concert. It was a great concert, by the way. But Kid Rock is a performer, has been since I was a child. And on that stage that day, Kid Rock had scantily clad women dancing around in cages on the stage. It was not exactly something you would take your mother to. Now, young 19-year-old Jesse didn't have any issue with it, but I suppose I'm a bit older, a lot older, and maybe a little bit wiser now, and I realize that's probably not healthy for a country either. So TPUSA had Kid Rock do the halftime show yesterday, and I guess we both grew up a little bit.
You know, I awoke one Sunday morning all alone with this song stuck in my head. And in that moment, something or someone spoke to me. They said there was still a verse that needed to be written for this song. And to get up and write it down. There's a book that's sitting in your house somewhere that could use some dusting off. There's a man who died for all our sins, hanging from the cross. You can give your life to Jesus, and he'll give you a second chance till you can't. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance.
How about that? I'll see you tomorrow.